Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hockey Blogger Mornings. I am Brian Emhauser. You can find me YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all of the places at Hockey Blogger, and always really, really appreciate your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you're listening. Man, 3 million people a month. It's pretty wild. I don't know how or why, but I really, really do appreciate it. And I think we have a new top dog in the number of videos watched category on their YouTube Wrapped. I think the person watched 627 videos from our channel, which is amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And whether you've watched one, whether this is your first one or your 627th or 8th, welcome. And let's talk some Seahawks. I got some, show programming notes at the jump here that I want to share, which is that I am working on an article. I've been working on this article for a while now. It is a big article and it is on the top of my mind. So I've been working on that and have not finished my tail of the tape, have not finished my normal prep, did not book a guest for today. So if you feel like, hey, is Brian like slacking off here? The answer is no. I've just kind of shifted some of my attention elsewhere. I do have a lot of the same data that we always look at, and I'll walk you through some of the pieces here. I will admit that you know, the state of the Colts played a little bit of a role in that, and that I didn't feel like I needed to get quite as deep in this game. But let's look at the numbers. Let's see what we find out. And by no means do I think this game is, you know, 100% a wrap for the Seahawks. You've got a very prideful Colts team that is 8-5, that knows their season's on the line, that knows that they've been losing with or without Daniel Jones. And there's a chance for them to kind of reclaim their season with a win. There's a really decent chance they will lose every game the rest of the year. So I think they're going to want to, they're going to give you everything they've got. And as of now, the Seahawks are 13.5 point favorites, which does not happen very often. In fact, I'm looking it up right now. When was the last time the Seahawks were a 13 point favorite? Was 2020 against the New York Jets. They were 16.5 point favorites. They won that game 40-3. 2018, they were 14 point favorites over the Arizona Cardinals. They won that game, but only by 3. 2017, they were 13.5 point favorites against the 49ers. They only won that game by 3. 2016, they were 15 point favorites over the Rams. They won that one 24-3, so they covered. 2015, they were 14 point favorites against the Browns. They won 30-13. So you kind of get the picture here on through the ages. Now, I'm looking at every game in Seahawks history where they've been favored by more than 13 points or more, to be accurate. They won every single game. It's happened 18 times. They are 18-0 in those games. As far as how many times they covered 11 times, meaning that there were 7 times that they did not cover. So there's a chance, again, you know, 11 out of 18 is still pretty good that they blew the teams out most of the time, but it's not a guarantee. And some of the teams that did not cover were pretty good teams. You're talking about the 85 Seahawks. You're talking about 2 times the 2013 Seahawks did not cover when they were 13 plus point favorites. And the 2014 Seahawks were 13.5 point favorites over the then Oakland Raiders and only won 30-24. So those are very, very good teams. And they were facing teams that nobody expected the Seahawks to struggle with, and they did. So that's always possible. The big story of this game is who's going to play quarterback for the Colts. What we know for sure, it will not be Daniel Jones. It will not be Anthony Richardson. If you're wondering what happened to Anthony Richardson, why isn't the number 4 overall pick from a couple of years ago stepping right in? Well, he had a freak accident during a pregame warmup a few weeks ago where he was stretching with one of those stretching bands, those like heavy duty rubber bands. It snapped and broke the orbital bone around his eye. So God, talk about bad luck. So he is on injured reserve. He will not be playing in this game. That's the only thing we know for sure about the quarterback situation. The Colts signed 44-year-old Philip Rivers yesterday, and there is increasing chatter that he may play in this game. A lot of people, he was signed to the practice squad, not the main roster. There was assumption that Riley Leonard, the rookie out of Notre Dame, would be the starter, as he was the backup and played against the Jaguars this past week. But Riley Leonard is dealing with a knee injury himself. And I think there's some question in the organization about whether Philip Rivers gives them a better chance to win, as crazy as that sounds. So we don't know at this point which of those two guys are going to play, and they are pretty different. So that does present some challenges, because Riley Leonard is much more likely to break the pocket and run. Now, maybe with the knee injury, that changes that, but that was his game at Notre Dame. This is a guy that was, you know, puking on the sidelines during the playoff games. And Riley Mills, his teammates, certainly can attest to what kind of competitor he is. But he's a guy that's willing to break the pocket, willing to run with the football, work in progress as an overall, you know, passer. And then you've got Philip Rivers, who has played very well against the Seahawks in his career. And if I'm making the most optimistic case for the Colts, it would be that Philip Rivers has never been a mobile quarterback. That has never been how he played the position. He has always been a guy who gets rid of the ball quickly, who's very smart, who reads defenses well, who utilizes his underneath, you know, passes, gets the team into the right play. Whether you're 37 or 44, you can play that way. Now, if the quarterback, if the pocket's collapsing, if you're getting into his face, if you're hitting him, I think that that's going to be a much bigger issue for a 44-year-old than, you know, 39-year-old, as it was the last time he played. But I'm not in the camp of, I think it's crazy that Philip Rivers gives him a better chance than Riley Leonard. I believe that Philip Rivers might be their best option. And, you know, he is a guy that has gone up against some really good defenses and is able to neutralize pass rush and neutralize at least what was the Seahawks defense back then, coverage wise, to play really well. Now, for those that are thinking about the same Chargers game I'm thinking about, where I think it was 2014, the Seahawks went down to then San Diego, and, you know, the Seahawks were cock of the rock back then, Super Bowl champs. They had just dispatched, I think, with the Green Bay Packers in the first game, making it look easy. Replay of the end. That was what became, or was that the 49ers? Maybe I'm mixing up. Let's pull it up because I'm curious now. They had just won their opening game in big fashion and went down to San Diego. And let me double check. It was the Packers. They beat 36-16. Then they go down to the Chargers and they lose 30-21 to Philip Rivers. And Philip Rivers in that game was really good. 28-37, 284 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, was only sacked once. And they didn't have much of a rushing game that day. They had just enough. They rushed for 100 yards. But Philip Rivers just kind of diced them up all day with passes underneath. What I will say is that was the Pete Carroll defense. That was the cover three. The weakness of that defense was underneath stuff and teams that were willing to dink and dunk their way down the field. And they kind of took away all the deep shots, but they gave up those things. And Philip Rivers was good enough to be able to make 10 of those plays on a drive and lead to a score. He also is someone who took advantage of the tight end back then. You're talking about Antonio Gates and folks of that nature. In this game, if he were to play, he'd have a guy like Tyler Warren, who is obviously one of already, you know, putting his name up there as one of the better tight ends in football. But I don't think Phillip Rivers would be facing a defense that looks anything like the defense he faced the last time the Seahawks played him. So, and people are like, oh, this is going to be a joke. It could be. I think Phillip Rivers, who has been coaching this very offense, he's a coach right now in high school. He's literally been coaching and running the Shane Steichen offense. And those two talk all the time. So he's going to know this offense inside and out. He's going to walk right in, be able to, like, that's why for me, I would play him if I was them. I think he's their best chance. But I think it's an open question. So a lot of the numbers, that's also part of the reason where I was like, ah, man, I can dig into all these different things about the Colts offense. That Colts offense is dead. Whatever it was no longer exists. Daniel Jones is a very different player than Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard's a very different player than Phillip Rivers. It's a tough task for the Seahawks this week in terms of what do you really prep for in this kind of situation. Makes it a little bit challenging. So that's kind of the Phillip Rivers thing. That's, I think, the big headline. But I will also kind of share some other, I think, important headlines. I think one of the things to keep an eye on in this game is going to be who plays cornerback for the Colts, because Colts have had a rough go of it at the cornerback position this year. They started with Charvarius Ward, who was a big free agent addition, formerly the 49ers. They had Xavien Howard for a bit, who was formerly of the Dolphins. Howard ended up, it was not playing well. He retired after four games. Kenny Moore and Mekhi Blackmon have been in there, but are not necessarily great players. I'll give you some of their grades. Kenny Moore is a 61.3 graded cornerback, and Mekhi Blackmon is a 52.7 graded cornerback with a 49.2 coverage grade from PFF. Not great. So then they went out and they got Sauce Gardner for a massive haul. Two first round picks. Compliment Charvarius Ward, who is coming off of an injury himself. And they were going to be cooking with gas. And then Sauce Gardner goes on the IR. And now Charvarius Ward is in the concussion protocol. So there's a chance that the group you're going to be running out there at corner is Mekhi Blackmon, Kenny Moore, and Jalen Jones, I guess, would potentially be their other corner. I'm looking right now who got the most snaps last week at corner for them. I mean, Charvarius Ward played the whole game. So I'm guessing this concussion thing came up later. Kenny Moore plays slot. And then Quiddy Pay. Oh, no, that's linebacker. Sorry, excuse me. And then you got Mekhi Blackmon as the other corner that was out there. So, I think Jalen Jones was getting a fair amount, and Jalen Jones did not play well. So you could have a really tough situation at corner. That's something to watch. And one of the other things to keep in mind is that this is not, for the first time in the last couple of weeks, this is not a massive pressure team. The Colts are okay in that regard. They rank 16th in the NFL in pressure rate. As far as number of sacks, they rank 9th. So they're not bad in terms of getting to the quarterback, but they are not the Atlanta Falcons. They're not the Houston Texans. They are not the Minnesota Vikings in terms of how they get after it. So if you don't have decent coverage going on there, the pressure is not dominant enough to where that's going to be an issue. And then also, this very likely is going to be a wet, rainy day. And so I don't know how much the pass game is going to play into it. I will say that that probably favors the Colts, right? If the Seahawks can't take advantage as much of the cornerback situation for the Colts, and they have to rely on their run game. And it's the Colts run game against the Seahawks run game, in essence, to see who can do better. I'd take the Colts in that, in terms of who's going to do better in a wet weather game. If the run game is primarily what you have to lean on, Colts have a much better run game, much better offensive line than the Seahawks. So there are some aspects of this game that are, you know, you cannot completely overlook an 8-5 team that at one point was considered the best team in football and was offensively just killing people. So lots to kind of pay attention to there. Let's look at some of the numbers and their rankings here. I'll share this with you. If you haven't already given the show a like and click subscribe, please do. Let's take a look at the numbers. I'm going to have to turn chat off while I do so you guys can see it all. Okay. All right, so this is DVOA, a DVOA look for you at this matchup. And Colts are still the number four DVOA team in the league. So this would be, other than the Rams, the best team that the Seahawks have faced all year. And Seahawks are still number one. You got to love that 1-1-1-1-1 to start the Seahawks side, which is number one total DVOA, number one defensive DVOA, number one run defense, and number one pass defense. That's beautiful to look at. The Colts, though, don't sleep on them on offense. Number four overall, number two offense, number two running offense, and number seven passing offense. So this has been a very good offense. And if you get credible quarterback play, beware, you know, this is not a team to just assume, even though you've got this kind of crazy situation at quarterback for them. As far as where the Colts have been offensively of late, this is part of the challenge for them. They scored 19 points in their last game against the Jaguars, 285 yards of offense. They scored 16 points against the Texans, 281 yards of offense. Their running game, well, let's go back one more game. They played the Chiefs. They had 20 points, 255 yards of offense. So that's three straight weeks. That's with Daniel Jones, where they have not had more than 285 yards of offense and have not scored more than 20 points. And part of what's going on there is they have not been able to run the ball. 74 yards against the Chiefs, 86 yards against the Texans, 89 yards against the Jaguars. And they also turned the ball over three times against the Jaguars in that one. So something is going on in terms of their ability to run the football. You know, you're talking about a team that was absolutely dominating on the ground for much of this year. So that's changed a little bit. As far as the matchup of when the Seahawks have the ball on defense, DVOA wise, when the Seahawks have the ball on offense, Seahawks are number eight on offense overall, 23rd in run DVOA, third in pass DVOA. The Colts defense ranks 13th overall, 14th against the run, 14th against the pass. So a little bit, again, the biggest advantage between both teams, like in terms of a side of the ball, is the Seahawks passing offense against the Colts passing defense. Weather might mitigate that a little bit. Then you go to special teams. You've got the Colts as a pretty good special teams unit. Number five overall, the Seahawks are number two. If you're wondering why the Seahawks still are number two, even after that game last week with a blocked field goal and a 100-yard punt, kickoff return for a touchdown, the Jets are having the best special teams year in the history of DVOA. They returned another punt, their second punt for a touchdown this past week. So the Jets special teams is the only one. I think they're at like a 12% DVOA, and the Seahawks, as good as they are still around 8%. So that's just to give you some idea how good the Jets special teams has been this year. As far as defending, and you're going to see some text in here, by the way, Atlanta, because I have not redone this yet. I've just put in the new data, but I've not scrubbed all the text, so ignore that. But you're gonna get the Seahawks team that is now top 10 at defending all three receiver spots. You'll remember a few weeks ago, like a month ago, they were like 20 something in wide receiver three DVOA. They're number one overall in wide receiver one. They're 10th against wide receiver twos. They're sixth against wide receiver threes. They're just shutting down receivers in general. But they are still struggling defending tight ends. They're 26th in that category. And as I said, Tyler Warren and Phillip Rivers are potentially something to worry about there. 16th in defending running backs as receivers. As far as the Colts, they're 7th defending wide receiver ones, but then it drops down 22nd against wide receiver twos. They're also bad at defending tight ends, 25th against tight ends in DVOA. So they're basically the same as the Seahawks. We'll see if that means AJ Barner can. I think AJ Barner, it makes sense in a game that could be a wet weather game that a guy like him plays a larger role. Maybe Eric Saubert, that's the name that people are less talking about. Jalen Sundell's who's everyone's talking about, but Eric Saubert could be back this week, and this would be a great game to get him back. All right, so let's keep going. Let's look at when the Colts are on defense and the Seahawks have the ball on offense. In this case, you're talking about, the Seahawks are number two in the NFL in points scored. Colts are 13th in points allowed, and the Colts are 22nd in yards allowed, but they're 12th in EPA per play. So you kind of get this feel for not a great defense, but a good one. And one of the things that really sticks out is their third down rate. They're 28th in the NFL on defense in surrendering third down conversions. So that's something that could be big for a Seahawks team that might need to sustain some drives, maybe not have as many explosives available to them in this kind of weather. And then run defense is pretty good for the Colts. 6th in rush yards allowed, 3rd in yards per rush, 7th in rush EPA. Seahawks are still lagging in those metrics. And so, again, if this turns into a run game versus run game, you're going to like probably what the Colts have to offer more than the Seahawks, although the Seahawks have been running the ball better of late than the Colts have. So, you know, whether you want to take recency or full season, up to you, but that's kind of where things lie. As far as, passing yards, Seahawks are 9th. The Colts are 29th in terms of passing yards allowed. To give you an idea, they're 17th in yards per attempt, they're 14th in EPA per dropback. They have done a decent job of taking the ball away. They're 13th in interception rate. They're 8th in total takeaways. So we all know that's an issue. The Seahawks are still second worst in the NFL in giving the ball away on offense. So that's always going to be a story with the Seahawks team until it's not, to be honest. And as far as, who are their players on defense to keep an eye on? Obviously, DeForest Buckner is a big one, although I don't think, let me just double check, I don't think that he is back quite yet. This would be the type of thing I'd already have looked up for you guys, but I don't think he is. Let me check. In case there's anything. Some people are saying he could return this week. He's progressing really well. As far as I can tell, it's not expected that he would come back, but it is a question. So if he's not there, that would be certainly something to keep an eye on, because since he's been out, they've given up 140 yards rushing to the Falcons, 148 to the Chiefs, 108 to the Texans, and 103 to the Jags, 4 straight games of over 100 yards. They'd only given up 4 100-yard rushing games all season before that. So his presence or lack thereof would be a big difference. Without him, you're talking about a lot more snaps for a guy like Eric Johnson II, guys like Neville Gallimore. So you're talking about different kinds of players than DeForest Buckner. But you know, it's Adebawori, very athletic defensive tackle. He's a little bit better of a pass rusher than he is a run defender. But yeah, DeForest Buckner not being there is a pretty big deal. Leatu Latu, pass rusher out of UCLA, he leads them in pressures with 48 and in sacks. He's a pretty good edge rusher, and Charles Cross struggled last week, so hopefully that would not be the case a second time. They've got some decent safety play. Rodney Thomas, the second, grades out pretty well here over on PFF. But you're really going to mostly be getting Nick Cross and Cam Bynum. And Cam Bynum is a good safety, one of the better safeties in the league, and somebody who can kind of cover all over the field and a guy that will pick the ball off. They've been getting some good linebacker play from Jermaine Pratt, as well as the other linebacker I was looking at. Where'd that guy go? So Jermaine Pratt's been playing relatively well. And then you've got Zaire Franklin, of all guys, still out there doing his thing. And he is where is Zaire Franklin on this list? Sorry, guys. Oh my gosh, yeah, he is not playing so well. Zaire Franklin, 41.5 grade, 34.5 in coverage. I think that's part of where you're getting this issue. Jermaine Pratt, as well as he's played against the run, has been 51 grade against coverage. So that's where the tight ends are probably getting a lot of their advantages. You know, I would love this matchup for Rashid Shaheed and JSN if, you know, depending on how the weather is. It might be more of a Cooper Kupp, AJ Barner kind of day, and maybe some of the running backs out of the backfield as well. So that's kind of looking at that group. Not a dominant group, but a opportunistic group. And I think the DeForest Buckner piece is one to certainly watch there, for sure. When the Seahawks have the ball when the Colts have the ball on offense and the Seahawks are on defense, you can see here, this is about as even of a matchup as it gets. Now, again, these numbers are misleading because this is based off of a season with Daniel Jones, and he's not going to be in there. But number two overall scoring defense versus the number five overall scoring offense. The number six overall defense against yards allowed, number six overall offense in yards gained. Yards per play, two versus two. I mean, like I said, this is as close as you're going to get. EPA per play, fourth ranked Colts offense versus the second ranked Seahawks defense. Third down rate, 10th best offense in terms of what the Colts are bringing, the second best third down defense. Yes, the Seahawks are up to second best in third down defense. Red zone, 6 versus 5. Rush yards, 6 versus 4. Yards per rush, 4 versus 2. Rush EPA, 1 versus 1. So if you want a true heavyweight bout, the Colts rush offense against the Seahawks rush defense is a huge, huge part of this game. Everyone's going to be talking about Phillip Rivers or Riley Leonard. This very well could come down to how well the Seahawks run defense holds up against this Colts rushing offense. And this is a very good offensive line. Maybe the best offensive line the Seahawks have faced this year. Maybe the best offensive line they'll face all year. But you're talking about Quentin Nelson, Tanner Bordellini, Bernard Raymond. All those guys are graded over 80 as offensive linemen. you're talking about Braden Smith and Matt Gonsalves, who are also good offensive linemen. And so figuring out how to slow down that run game the way the last three teams have managed to do, I think, is a big deal. Hopefully there's some key thing that they can point to, but it's a really big strength for that Colts offense. I'm going to take a look at their last game and just make sure there's, oh, so Braden Smith left the last game and Jalen Travis came in. Let me check Braden Smith's injury situation. So he is in concussion protocol and a neck injury after leaving the game. That's a big deal. I mean, that's their starting right tackle. And and Braden Smith is in concussion protocol. So that could be big. That could be enough all by itself to give the Seahawks at least one part of that offensive line that's a weakness. Jalen Travis is a rookie. He's very athletic. But, you know, this guy is 6'7", 340. He's a big guy. I was really interested in his athletic profile. But asking him to come in might be a lot. He did do pretty well last week. He had a 72.3 grade and had a 78.7 pass block grade. Don't know if that will hold up the next time, but that's something to keep an eye on. Otherwise, you know, the biggest advantage for either team when the Colts are on offense is the Seahawks have picked off teams at the third best rate, third highest interception rate. The Colts offense has turned it over at the 15th highest rate. Phillip Rivers doesn't throw a lot of picks. So I don't know if that's going to be, if he's the guy, if that's going to come true. Riley Leonard, I think you'd feel a little bit better about. The other biggest advantage here, the only advantage for the Colts of any of these is they're eighth in passing yards and the Seahawks are 11th. It's a very negligible advantage and it's not really something I would want to bank on. So the Seahawks defense does have the overall advantage, and with the quarterback situation, I think a little bit better. Let's get to special teams. As we said, it's a good special teams group for the Colts. They are sixth in field goal accuracy in terms of percentage of their field goal attempts that they've made. They don't kick a lot of long field goals. They tend to, you know, go for it. And then the Colts kick return game is fifth best in the NFL. So that's interesting. In terms of kick coverage, Colts are second in terms of net yards per punt. They're eighth in kick return yardage allowed. So there's not the clear advantage on special teams that there often has been this year for the Seahawks. That's also something that could keep this game a little closer than people would want it to be. All right, let's get back to, I feel like we lost something somewhere here. There we go, that's what I was looking for. All right, let's get comments back up here. So, you know, you kind of look at this game, I think the DeForest Buckner thing, well, it doesn't sound like he'll be back. The Braden Smith one is a big one to keep an eye on. Charvarius Ward, depending on how those play out, that could be enough. I will not be like, I did tweet out, I thought it was criminal to put a 44-year-old Phillip Rivers out there against this defense. The more I've looked at this game, I think it's actually the wise thing to do. Now, will he be up to snuff? I don't know, but my best guess is this game is going to be closer than people think. And that the weather will play a role and the weather will benefit the Colts, and that both in the fact that it will mean fewer pass opportunities for the Seahawks, especially explosive pass opportunities, and it will probably mean a better chance for the Colts to, you know, try to run the football. I think this game is going to be closer than people think. I'll save my prediction till tomorrow, Thursday night, when Joe Fan and Evan Hill will join me for Real Hawk Talk. We'll do that Thursday night at 5 p.m. Pacific. But I think generally when you have a team that's got their season on the line, that has been very good, that's been really, really well coached, I just would not count them out. And I know that sounds crazy, and maybe you're like, Brian's always trying to make these guys seem scarier than they are. But I see a lot of reasons why this could be kind of the last stand for the Colts, and they're going to give it everything they can. And the Seahawks, hopefully, if they can manage to break away in this game and rest some players, man, that would be a huge advantage for Thursday against the Rams. So the Seahawks have got to focus on this game. They've got to get it. They've got to play up to their standard. And if they do, the Seahawks will beat them. Like, no question. If the Seahawks are slow start, if they are a little leaky in the run game, it could be a more uncomfortable game than you think. All right. And Jigba with Attitude has been a member for 4 months. He said, I told you ways back about our 12s sound home. I don't know what that means, but thank you for the super chat. Thanks for being a member. OEL says, regardless of who is the QB for the Colts, this game is an opportunity for the Seahawks offense to further fine tune itself. More running for Darnold, please. Yep. It's Zeke, has been a member for 3 months. 5 years out of the league, mine is going to confuse Unk. Yep, I certainly expect Mike McDonald to cause some problems. I think Philip Rivers is one of the smartest quarterbacks that's ever played. He's going to struggle the least amount with, you know, being confused probably of almost anybody you could put out there, even if he's been out of it for 5 years. OEL says, just happened this morning, Charvarius Ward went on IR for the Colts. All right. Well, thank you for the news. I was on Brock and Salk this morning. I have not had a chance to check. So Charvarius Ward is out. Appreciate that. That's big news. Hawk Scoot says, when Jones lost his mobility, their run game dropped off. Yeah, that's interesting point there. Daniel Jones, even before he had the Achilles injury this past week, had a fractured fibula and was wearing some special thing on his leg to protect it. His ability to kind of move almost certainly had a role to play. Philip Rivers is not somebody who's going to move. And so we'll see there again. I've said it a bunch of times. I would lean towards Philip Rivers if I were them. But if it's Riley Leonard, I think the Seahawks have no problems in this game. I really don't. I think the Seahawks absolutely destroy him. If it's Philip Rivers, I think it's could get uncomfortable. Saucy Sasquatch says, Brian, I'm going to be stuck in DC for a night next week. Any restaurant recommendations? Well, I think all the food in DC is pretty damn good. I think DuPont Circle's got some really cool places. I don't know if it's still open. There was a place called, oh my gosh, it's a bookstore. It's a bookstore slash cafe in DuPont Circle. And they have some really nice desserts for late night if you're out super late. I'd advise getting some sort of international fare because you can there's an embassy for every country pretty much from the world, and there's a restaurant from pretty much every country in the world that's pretty authentic. I think that's the first place I had Ethiopian food. So it depends on what you're looking for. There's great steak there as well, good seafood. So you really can't go wrong. I think Georgetown is a ton of fun. There's some places right on the river there, the Potomac, that are worth checking out. So enjoy. I love DC. You'll walk around if the weather's decent. It's a great walkable city. Make sure you hit the mall and enjoy all that. So lots of good stuff there. Let's check out this awesome deal that's going on right now from simplyseattle.com. Right now, if you go to simplyseattle.com, not only if you will get 15% off if you use code HawkBlogger15, but you will also give 5% automatically out of whatever you purchase. 5% of your purchase price will go directly to the Fred Hutch charity that will help benefit patients that can't afford transportation or lodging while they're fighting for their lives. So you get something, a great deal, 15% off. You get great gear for yourself or someone else, and you do good. All you got to do is use code HawkBlogger15 at simplyseattle.com, as well as if you buy one of their Simply Good hoodies, which are really, really cool, by the way, another $5 of that price will go to Fred Hutch. So Simply Good going on from now until December 24th. Get all your holiday gifts there. It's great. And it's not the only place you get holiday gifts. Go over to jkboots.com/hawkblogger. Put that in your browser window. You'll get your own special promo code to make sure you're getting the best possible deal on the best boots out there. Washington-based company in Spokane, family-owned. Each boot is handmade. Awesome, awesome boots. Highly recommend it. And go to Sleeper. Grab the Sleeper app. Get all your fantasy football needs. Your NBA information, anything else you're looking for will be at the Sleeper, on the Sleeper app. You get $20 without making a deposit. And if you use promo code HAWKS, you will also get up to $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Currently operational over 25 states. Check out Sleeper today. Okay, that is gonna do it for this episode of First Look and Hawk Blogger Mornings. I will probably publish Tale of the Tape either today, later, or tomorrow. My priority is this other article I'm working on that I think you guys are going to enjoy. It's a really deep dive. I've talked to a lot of people from a lot of places to get this one done, and just trying to do it justice. So going to go work on that today. I will let you know. I'll be at the VMAC, talk to Mike McDonald, and we'll get injury reports later tonight. And we'll see what goes on for both teams there. Until next time, I'm Brian Emhauser. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Take care.